Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Monday, October 2nd. That's right, it's October 2nd. And the boyfriend and I are coming home from Hillsborough Winery in Hillsborough, Virginia. And we're going to record a podcast. Say hi, boyfriend.
Hi, boyfriend.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. There's been a lot of politics this week, this weekend, on Friday, we heard late Friday that Representative Foley from Florida resigned because of his emails and instant messages he was exchanging with pages in Congress. They were very graphic in nature and bad for him. For me, that opens up a seat for the Democrats to take in the November election. What do you think?
Exit right ahead.
Oh, that's Susie telling us where to go. In case you heard that, that's the navigation system. Anyway, I'm chatting a lot too much. What do you think, boyfriend?
I think the more interesting story is the fact that Republican leadership, including Denny Hastert and Boehner, knew about this for quite a while. And like the Vatican, chose not to do anything about it and maybe hoped it would go away or cover it up. I think that's the bigger story. It's not what Mark Foley, who had been rumored to be gay for a long, long time. That's one part of the story. And you have to wonder how stupid could he have been. But then, he was a closeted gay man. And when you belong to a political party who claims to be the moral compass of America, and we never make mistakes because we're morally perfect, according to their definition of morally perfect, you expect this kind of behavior, much like the Catholic priest of the Catholic Church. When the Catholic Church says, we as an institution, the institution is perfect and infallible, and we never make mistakes. Well, then when you make mistakes, what option do you have but to cover it up and hope no one is noticing? So, on the one hand, we have that with Foley. But then on the other hand, we have the institution itself, which is the Republican Party, and the leadership, and are reacting much the same way.
800 yards. Take the exit right.
Sorry about that.
Much the same way that the leadership of the Catholic Church did. They covered it up and hoped no one would notice. Well, you know, someone noticed. So
take the exit right.
Susan is bothering me. Do we need Susan?
She's done now until we our next exit.
Anyway. So I just find the whole thing very interesting.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say was, surprise, surprise, another Republican comes out of the closet.
Forced out of the closet.
Forced out of the closet for inappropriate doings of, you know, whatever.
Well, I would have preferred that, you know, not that I would have preferred such episodes with young people, but on the other hand, we can only imagine what the Christian Coalition has to say about it. If it had been female pages he was soliciting, you know, then they can't say, well, look at those homosexuals. They're always out to destroy the family. But,
Well, they were destroying from in their own damn party this time, then.
Well, true, and I'm just wondering how Fox News is spinning all this. Then, of course, we have the serial installments in the Washington Post of the latest Woodward book, State of Denial.
Right.
In which those of us who live in the world, or who have been living in the world of reality for the past 5 years, nothing that has been revealed is new. We've all known that George Bush is detached and living in his own world of distorted reality. We all know that Dick Cheney is living in his own fantasy world called Project for New American Century. Of course, we have always known, those of us who have been looking at this with a different reality, that Condi Rice, etc., did have knowledge that Al-Qaeda was planning an attack in the summer or fall of 2001 and did nothing about it, and I've said this on numerous occasions. The biggest area of competence where George Bush has not been judged has been the summer memos he received while he was on vacation in Crawford, Texas for 6 weeks in 2001. Al-Qaeda plans attacks on America using airplanes, which he received in August of 2001 while he was clearing brush and playing cowboy. And George Bush has not been held accountable for that because it's just too easy to blame Clinton or to say we didn't know it was a historical document. Who could have known they were going to use airplanes? Well, they did know. But this is not new to me because I have always known this. And
anyone who follows the blogs or the political writings on the web have known about this for a hell of a long time.
Anyone who wants to live in the world of truth, we have not been living in the world of truth in this country. We have been allowed to live in the world of denial. And I think Woodward's book, and of course we have to say his past two books have been all about kissing ass. I mean, Woodward's a whore, let's face it.
He goes with the trends
for whatever political winds are blowing. So now he's decided to write a truthful book about the Bush administration, in which all these things about the war in Iraq, 9/11, all of it's revealed now. Well, those of us who have decided not to live in the pretend world of George Bush, well, this is all old news. I mean, I read the excerpts in the Post this morning, and I kept saying, well, I already knew this. I am not buying the book, because I've known all of this for many years now. And, you know, I have conservative relatives who, you know, for 5 years would get up and leave the table when I brought these subjects up or would change the subject. And then Katrina hit, and they were willing to blame Kathleen Blanco and the mayor, Nagin. And the videos were out in which the head of the Hurricane Center was briefing President Bush, and he was told, oh, a Category 5 hurricane is going to destroy New Orleans. And the president just sat there and didn't ask any questions and didn't say anything. And they were all willing to give him a free ride. Well, I got a news break from my mother this weekend.
Yeah, tell about his father. Listen to this.
And my mom said, you won't believe it, but your father said yesterday, Bush should never have gotten us into this war. It was a mistake. And my mother said she nearly fell out of her chair because my father has been defending George Bush for years now. So, and my father's a conservative Republican, so that says something when even, you know, my conservative father, also part of the oil industry for over 40 years, has decided that George Bush has led us down a very dangerous road.
Now, do you think that this is going to have a major effect on the November elections in, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Well, who knows? I mean, with the Diebold machines and all the, you know, there's a lot of skepticism about the fairness of elections in this country. I'm not confident until we have a fair election system where we have paper ballots and these companies that Diebold, for example, has claimed, well, it's not claiming that they have.
Well, it's been proven.
Well, they can be easily hacked. Diebold, in particular, in Ohio, in the 2004 elections, Diebold is ready to deliver votes to the president in 2004. All these things have been said. Robert Kennedy has written articles for the Rolling Stone magazine in regard to our electoral process. Who knows what's going to happen in November 2005 and 2006. But shame on the American. I mean, I always go back to the common denominator, which is the American people. What the American people are willing to tolerate. And have we hit bottom yet? I don't know. So we'll find out. But
well, it'll be interesting to see how this week shapes up with the whole Foley thing. But remember the late Saturday, the National Republican Committee came out saying that they were distancing themselves from Foley and they had nothing to do with him, and they said he did not represent the Republican Party and they should not link him to the Republican Party, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. That's like the Vatican saying the same thing about the Catholic clergy. Well, the damage is done. So, but again, I mean, there is a. The conservative Republicans control a lot of the media venues in this country, and who knows how this is all going to be spinning, you know, on mainstream media, you know, the cable news, a lot of the southern, midwestern population, they get their news from Fox or Rush Limbaugh. Who knows how they will have to be spinning beyond control, but they'll do it. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
they believe whatever baby food they serve up, so we'll just have to see.
That's true. Now, the other thing is, you might remember last week when we had our discussions on several different topics, one of our most faithful listeners, Dave in VA, was leaving comments almost every day about our discussions. And he's very interested in the Archette and the Sioux Dreams, and wants to know if I'll be wearing a dress. And Dave and VA, no, I won't be wearing a dress anytime soon.
No, but you will be wearing a plaid miniskirt with knee-length go-go boots.
Oh, the outfit has changed, I guess. Ooh, look at those cute guys. And a Mercedes, no less. Anyway.
Pay attention.
I will.
Because we have to have some day wear and evening wear. And your day wear will be some kind of risque clothing. And I'm seeing, since we're going with the plaid designs, I think it's going to be a plaid miniskirt with coordinating top, very long dangling earrings, maybe like geometric figures, like big squares or something, I don't know.
Uh-huh. So, should I tell Dave and VA that he will be able to see me in a dress? Dancing, or plaid dress, that is, dancing around?
Some kind of plaid number.
Okay, now, along the same lines as Dave and VA, he says that he would be willing to send us either a shirtless picture or a nude picture of himself to get tickets to the Kennedy Center. Would you like to see Dave and VA naked?
Absolutely.
So Dave and VA, get that digital camera out, or at least upload those dirty pictures you already have, and send them to Arch Radio, and you'll be getting tickets in the mail for the first Archette and the Sioux Dreams concert. Now, we're coming up on the toll plaza, so I have to hand off the iRiver to the boyfriend, and you know what he does, he hijacks it, so... All right, can you take over this while I get the money out?
Yeah, give me...
Don't press the buttons.
Oh, there he goes.
Just hold the sides.
See, Archette likes to think he is the diva who can tell me what to do. Well, I am the manager of this operation, and I can shut her down faster than she can say Sioux Dream.
Are the numbers still ticking away on the display?
Yes, they are.
Okay, then you're still recording. Where's Cash?
Now, I want to reveal what happened last night.
What happened last night?
Well...
Speak loud.
We had a dinner party planned.
Oh, yeah. Tell
for four. Well, we had invited our lesbian couple over.
Our most recent lesbian friends.
We really enjoyed their company a lot. And we had a bottle of champagne... Archette is now paying the toll, and we're...
Huh? Thank you.
Yes, and now we're getting through the toll plaza. We were going to have a dinner for four with our lesbian friends, and I got an email from one of them, and the email said, "We'll have to cancel because we're breaking up."
Lesbians breaking up?
Yes. Well, you know, the lesbians...
They meet.
Well, no. They meet. It happens very quickly. It's like 24 hours. But they can break up very quickly, too.
That's so sad. Okay, yeah. So tell the story. I'm sorry.
So I had tons of food for this dinner party.
A four-pound
pork roast. And then I had, to go with the champagne, I had salmon, and I had...
What's the name of that butter cheese?
It was like a Saint Andre, soft buttery cheese with baguette, and I had various nuts and fruit and all of that, and it was just the two of us. So you know what I decided to do? I decided we were going to have a dinner party for two. And so I cooked as though we were having these people over, because I had all this food. And Archer and I just had a very intimate dinner party for two.
Now, describe the card that you put on my plate. Because I'll post it on the website.
Well, I had not known this, but apparently Archette had been pimping herself out to other publicists and press agents. And I found a card at a flower shop. They were selling greeting cards there. And what do I see? But this card had a very young girl with an extremely large beehive hairdo. And then I recognized the photograph. It was Archette.
How old was I?
Oh, maybe 12.
No, more like 8.
Well, whatever. Archette had sold photographs of herself, the early years, in her beehive and go-go outfit. And I bought this. I bought the greeting card because I wanted to confront Archette with this. Because, of course, if Archette is doing this behind my back, I am not getting my commission. I have contacted my attorneys. This is clearly a breach of contract. And I await compensation for this egregious behavior from Archette.
Now, for the listeners, turn towards me, honey. For the listeners, I will be scanning this card and putting it on the website for you to see a picture of me. But here's the thing. Last night at the dinner party, I said, oh, this card is beautiful. Can I borrow your scanner to scan this card? And what did you say?
I said, it must be in the shop.
Because he doesn't have a scanner.
I do, too. Yeah. I am very into technology and the latest in technology advancements.
What is the latest in technology advancements?
Ditto machines.
You're so full of it.
Here you go. Here's your iRiver back.
Thank you. I'll take the iRiver. Now, what else was I going to say? I can't remember now. Oh, I know. Okay, so check the website for that picture of Archette in the early years. The words, what did the words say at the top?
I'll be kind.
I'll be kind. So that'll be, that's just part of the card. The last thing I want to tell you about is that I got a really nice long audio comment from John Ong, and he missed the 300th episode, but he sent this wonderful, actually it's almost like a mini podcast that he recorded for the Archer Radio, wishing us, you know, congratulations for 300th episode. And then he used his binaural microphones to record some audio to show, you know, how the sounds are, and he talks about it all. Anyway, and he encourages me to get some binaural microphones, which I hope to get sometime in the future, but I haven't made that as a priority quite yet, but I might do that. In any case, listen to this couple of minutes from John Ong. It's like a mini podcast using his binaural microphone. So listen to this.
Hello, Archer. Happy 300 plus. Since I'm late for the actual 300th show, I thought I will do a recording later on and then get all the attention, because I'm sure people would be done by now. You can play this anytime, 300 something. It could be 302, 303, or whatever you want it to be. I'm recording this on our recently very much talked about, what is this? Binaural microphone. And I am going to wish you happy 300 while I am walking around the house. I actually walk outside the house now. And I want your audience, your listener, to sample some of the sound that maybe they will be getting pretty soon, because if you would have purchased this yourself, I mean, if you were to purchase this and do a binaural microphone recording, all your listeners would get the sound like you are experiencing right now. And I am a big believer in that. I think it's very powerful. In fact, I'm knocking stuff on my left, on my right, and then out at my left. Ouch, I'm banging on this metal thing that it hurts my knuckles. But anyway, did you hear that? That's fighting squirrels. Squirrels are going crazy this season right now. They are digging for nuts or finding nuts and bury them down in the ground. But I'm walking outside, and this is the fall in Kansas, the sound of fall in Kansas City. I'm going to walk out to the grass. I'm actually wearing nothing. No, I mean, I'm not naked, but I don't have any shoes on. Ouch! Prickly. So turn up your... If you're not using headphones, turn up your headphones and listen to the nature. And a little bit of traffic, too. But I want to say how much I enjoy Archer Radio. Since the very first episode, probably, I've heard Archer... I don't know where I heard Archer Radio from, but of course it was the very beginning of podcasting. I started podcasting sometime in 2004. Okay, this is going to be a good example. The car is passing on the left, and it's going to go to the right. So, there you go. And I think Archer should get one, or a pair, of this binaural microphones. And actually do a recording using this. I get distracted, so this is probably too long, and I'm sorry. Ouch! I'm sorry that this is taking so much time, and but I just want to do this and tell everyone how much I love Archer Radio, and I really am looking forward to at least another 300 more. And it has become a part of my daily routine to listen to Archer Radio, and I'm back into the house now. And, you know, it's like getting to know a new friend. It really is, and it really makes me feel like I need to find out what's going on in Archer's life. I'm sure all your listeners do agree with that. So thank you so much, Archer, for... If you choose to use this clip, and no fancy audio production. Usually, my typical trend is I'll play something fancy, do a recording of some sort. In fact, I thought of doing that, but I just ran out of time. You know me, I'm a busy whore. So thank you so much, Archer, and sorry, I just used up like almost 4 minutes of your time, but thank you, and keep on podcasting, and we love being the ordinary.
Okay, boys and girls, that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed that audio from John Ong and the political discussion and our chat and the Sue Dreams discussion by the boyfriend. Do you have anything else you'd like to say, honey?
Archer ate parsnips.
No, I didn't. He always comes up with stuff like that. Anyway, that's all for today, boys and girls. So until next time.
Bye.
Bye. Archer.